Wow! I'll tell you one thing. That don't set your wood on fire. It's wet. Amen? Whew. Glory to God. That's my kind of singing. I love that. Boy, when you're singing about Jesus and about Him coming back, you know, I don't know about you. I've never got over getting saved. Have y'all ever got over getting saved? Man, I'll tell you, look like me, some of you there, you haven't learned to rejoice yet. Great day. If that doesn't make you get up and shout a little bit, you're dead, amen? Man, we've got something to shout about. You know what I never understood? I never understood how people can go to a football game and somebody take a little old thing with hot air in it, run down the field, and everybody jump up and shout, and they get in church and they act like in a funeral home. I've never understood that. If you can't get excited about Jesus here tonight, friend, you got a problem, amen? Whew. I mean to say, I love that kind of singing, amen? Y'all get me all fired up. I'll tell you, I've got a old tent meeting I'm getting ready to go to preach in. I'm liable to burn that thing down. Y'all get me so much on fire here. But listen, this is good. You know what? If we can't enjoy this, how in the world is somebody going to enjoy heaven? Amen? I mean, man, it's going to be singing and praising and shouting up there. You know, the Bible talks about shouting in heaven. Have y'all ever shouted? Well, let's shout one time. Let's practice. Shout. Shout again. Shout. Oh, my Lord, we done woken neighbors up for sure. Man, well, you know what? We ought to be practicing that. You know, I've got a dear friend that I may have told you this before. He's an evangelist. And he said he had one of these neighbors that was always just watching everything he did. Said, man, he'd come out and there's a neighbor watching. And he said, well, I'm going to do something different. So he came out of his house and all at once he just started jumping up. Just jumping up like that. Well, a neighbor got so worried about him, she comes running out of the house and said, what in the world are you doing jumping up? He said, I'm practicing for the rapture. Man, I'll tell you, ought to be looking. We ought to be looking every day and praising God every day. We're getting one day closer. And what a day that is going to be. Thank you all for singing tonight. Woo! I'll tell you, what a blessing. Now, I'll tell you, when I got saved, my feet got saved too. I got saved all over. And I'll tell you, that blessed my heart. And, boy, I'll tell you, I just love that kind of singing. And that's what I was raised on. And I tell everybody, that's what's going to be in heaven too, amen? So we'll just have a great time. Well, are you ready for some preaching tonight? All right, well, we had church here last night, didn't we? We just had a good time. Don't y'all get excited. I'm not leaving. I'm just coming down here. But we just had a great, great time here last night. God was moving and working. And we had some that came for baptism and some for rededication. And some of you didn't come and shoot. But anyway, you're going to get another chance tonight. Amen? So anyway, we'll be getting into the Word. I hope that all of you have brought your Bibles with you tonight. And I want us to go to a verse of Scripture in John chapter 15, verse 5. John chapter 15, verse 5. Now, we're not going to stay that long, okay? But we're going to share that verse of Scripture. Now, let's look at what the Word of God has to say. Jesus says in verse 5, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Oh, my gracious. Without me you can do nothing. What is nothing? Nothing is nothing, right? That's what it is. I don't agree with what Webster said in the dictionary. He said it's just a little bit. No, it's not. Nothing is nothing. Amen? And this is exactly what Jesus is saying. You're not going to do anything. Now watch this. If you're living a life without Christ, friend, you are subject for nothing for but a loss. That's all. Without Christ, you're not going to accomplish anything in life. You're going to be miserable. And so without Him, nothing can be established. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of St. John, chapter 5. St. John, chapter 5. I hope all of you brought your Bible with you tonight. Don't ever go to church without your Bible. Amen? Man, I tell you, we need the Word of God. Amen? This is what that He blesses. John, chapter 5. Now look what those first words, two words say. After this. Now what in the world is he talking about? Anytime I see that, I want to know what was before this. Don't you? After this. Well, I'm glad you do, because that's what we'll look at. Let's go up to verse 49 chapter 4. The nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down to my child die. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man, there it is. The man did what? The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went on his way. Hey, that is one of the keys to getting prayer answered. That's one of the keys to having the will of doing the will of God and doing the things that God has taught you to do. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Amen. So it has to be believing the word of God. Now, drop down with me in verse 52. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. And the father knew that it was the same, oh my Lord, the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son what? Liveth. Now, I don't know about you, friend, but I'll guarantee you, if you had a son that was dying or a daughter that was dying on the deathbed, and you believe what Jesus said, that your son is alive, I'll guarantee you, you'd be shouting to the rooftop. Amen? How many of y'all have ever had a child on the deathbed? Let's see. Well, I sure have. I have. I've had a granddaughter on the deathbed. This brother has, too. You know what it is when that child is made well. Hey, it's joy. Amen? This man was joy. He was filled with joy because his son now was alive. Now, and in verse 54, this is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea unto Galilee. So, after this, that's what he was talking about. It was a miracle. Friend, we ought to remember what God has done for us in our life. Amen? Let's go to him in prayer. Brother Ron, ask God's blessing on the preaching. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Now, let's look at part of the message here tonight. Let's go back now to John chapter 5. And he says, After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went into Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem a sheep market, a pool, which is called the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Now, I want you to picture that so you can understand the rest of it. Here is a lot of sick people. They have been around. Now, some is probably lame. Some of the bodies are withered. Some blind. There's all kinds of different diseases, and probably a large multitude of them is waiting around. Now, the angel from heaven would come down and stir the water up. And while it was being stirred up, The ever who was the first one that went into that water was healed of whatever disease that that person had. Are you with me? Can you say amen on the word? All right, all right. Now, let's look again at, go to verse 4, verse 5. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity for 38 years. Picture that. Here he is for 38 years, and all he's doing is just sitting there. But the Bible said there was always somebody ahead of him. There was always somebody that stepped in front of him. And the Bible said that he told Jesus, he said, I have no man. That's sad. You know what he's saying? I don't have anyone to help me. No one seems to care. You may be like that tonight. You may be here tonight, and you think that you don't have a friend. Feel me? I want you to know the greatest friend that anyone can ever have is the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He is always there for your good and his glory. Can I have an amen? That's what he was doing. Now, let me chase a rabbit just for a minute, okay? I was in a foreign country, to come to me in a little bit. I was in a foreign country, and there was a lot of people that was crippled, blind, and sick. And so they had asked me, said, would you go and preach with them, well, to them? And yeah, I said, I will. I didn't know that there were lepers there, and there was a lot of leprosy there. And it was in India, Kota, India was where it was. And I remember going. And I remember they telling me, saying, don't touch them and don't let them touch you. I said, okay. So anyway, I forgot where it was. And I got to preaching, and they started getting saved, and they started coming up. Some of them didn't have toes, fingers, ears, nose, you know. All parts of the bodies was missing. And boy, they started coming. And, you know, I forgot where I was. I got to hugging them. They got to hugging me. And I thought on the plane going back, if I tell my wife that, she'll never hug me again. But, you know, when I think of this setting here, that's exactly the way it was there. They needed someone to come and someone to help them. Now, look at verse 7. And the impotent man answered, sir, I have no man. I don't have a man. Hang on to that thought. When the water is troubled, put me into the pool while I am coming another step down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And look what happened. The Bible says, immediately something happened. You know what? He was going and testifying and tell people all that had happened. People were asking him, watch this. This is not in the scripture. This is my interpretation, all right? If you don't agree with me, I'll prove it when I get to heaven, amen? I'll guarantee you what he was doing. He was saying, I met a man that was able to heal me. I met a man like no other man. This man has changed my life. Friend, glory to God, I met that man myself. Amen. What is any better? This man is able to heal. This man is able to raise up. This man is able to give hope. This man can change your life. He is the only man. He said, I have no man that could do that. But thank God, he can't ever say that again. He said, now I have a man. I have a man. Are you saved tonight? If you are, you got a man. Amen. You got a Savior that's living in you that will never, ever leave you or forsake you. He's the greatest friend that anyone could ever have, preacher. There is never one like him. Are you glad you come? Praise God. I'm glad too. Take your Bibles and let's go to Mark, St. Mark chapter 10. I'd like to start with verse 46. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. I see two or three of you looking in the Old Testament, honey, you're not going to find it there. Amen? No, I'm running on. Okay, when you're there, Mark 10, beginning with verse 46. Are you there? If you are, say amen. If you're not, say, oh me. Okay. All right. Verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went into Jericho with his disciple, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Picture this with me. Here's a man that is lame. Here is a man that has a need. This man, Bartimaeus, he's blind. He cannot work. He cannot play. He cannot do what other people do. He is helpless. He is blind. The only thing that this man can do is beg. Beg. What a picture. Watch here. It's the same picture of a lost sinner. They are blind. They can't see. They can't hear. They don't know. They're on a road to hell, friend. And this is exactly what we're saying. This man here, he was sitting by a highway. Think about how many people every day would walk by him and look at him. And many of them would say, I can't help you. You're blind. I can't help you. You're blind. There's nothing that I can do for you. And all they would do is put a few coins maybe in a little tin cup. That was all. They probably wished that they could give him sight. But one day, everything changed. Everything changed. Look at verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now watch this. Watch this. Because every time somebody gets excited and start getting saved and telling everybody about it, the old devil will show up every time. He'll try to do everything that he can to throw a cold bucket of water on you. Amen? Now look with me if you would. In verse 48, many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, Son of David, have mercy on me. Boy, don't we need some Christians like that today? Don't we need some witnesses like that today? Don't we, when the old world is out there saying, be quiet, be quiet. Man, you know what? I would have loved for a whole lot of the world being here and hear them singing. Wouldn't you tonight? They was, whoo, look at those people. They're happy, happy. You know, man, I'll tell you, they're singing about Jesus. They're singing about heaven. Friend, listen. Any time that you get on fire for the Lord and you are out here witnessing and happy and praising the Lord, you're going to have some people that don't like that. Amen? You're going to have that. You mark it down. Brother, everybody doesn't want to hear about Jesus. Amen? But you know what? We're commanded to tell them about Jesus. And this is what this guy was doing. He said, watch this. I had no man to help me, but now I know a man who can. And he's passing by, and he is Jesus. And he was crying, Lord, have mercy on me. Friend, don't miss that. Don't miss that. Just suppose that he had to just be quiet. If he'd have listened to the Pharisees, he would have been quiet. He wouldn't have said a word. But you know what he did? I like it. The Bible said he even cried out more. More. Lord, have mercy on me, Jesus. Wouldn't it have been sad if he'd have listened to the crowd? He never would have got healed. He never would have got saved. And you know what? Isn't it a sad, sad thing today? Most people know, if you ever read your Bible, you know we get down close to the end. Man, I mean to say, you read your Bible, you go to Ezekiel, you look at Daniel, you look at Matthew 24, you look at the book of Revelation. All of this is pointing to one thing. It's pointing to Jesus Christ coming again. Friend, glory to God. Jesus said, watch it. And I believe 24:9, he said, now all men are going to hate you because of, watch it, my name's sake. My name's sake. Isn't it amazing how today they don't want to hear the name of Jesus? Isn't it a shame today how that they're taking the name of Jesus down out of courthouses and public places and things? Man, I'll tell you, it burns me up. I might make some of you mad tonight, but I'll get you glad before you leave, okay? It burns me up, see them tearing their statues down. They might not have been perfect men, but I'll tell you what, we are not perfect either, amen? But thank God for men that would fight for this country. Where would we be today if it wasn't for George Washington that would fight and stand and take a stand? Where would we be today if it wasn't for Thomas Jefferson? Where would we be today if it wasn't for some of the other old pioneers that rode horseback and believed in this nation and preached the word of God and took a stand for our Constitution? Where would we be today? Man, I'll tell you, it is. It kind of gets under my blood a little bit. I'm still drinking West Virginia water. It makes me happy, amen. Well, let's get back. Let me stop meddling and get back to the preaching. Okay. Now look at verse 49. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Let's stop right there just for a minute. Just stop for a minute. Do you realize that every time that a lost sinner calls on Jesus and pray, he comes right to him? Do you know that? If they are there, he's going to come right to them. You cannot. If you're lost tonight and call on Jesus to save you, wham, that quick. He's right there with you. He's right there. This is what happened right here. He called on Jesus, and Jesus came and stood still. I don't know about you. I like staying still sometimes. I do. You know, when I was just thinking about that, the thought just came to me a while ago. I live in the mountains, and I know what half of you are saying. Well, brother, we can look at you and tell you from the mountains, amen. But I live at the foot of the mountain. I've got an altar built on the side of that mountain. Nothing brings any more joy to me than to get my Bible and go on the side of that altar and kneel at that altar that I have up on that mountain. I just like to get up and meet with Jesus. There's no phones up there. There's no televisions up there. All it is a bunch of crows and birds flying around. But I love to get up there, and I just love to meet with the Lord up there. I open my Bible up, and I get to preaching. I preach on the side of that mountain up there. I just have a time meeting with the Lord. That's where I get most of my messages, amen? And you know what? People always say, well, Brother Earl said, who are you preaching to? I said, good time of day. You ask a question like that. Have you ever met Mr. Oak and Ms. Pine and Mr. Poplar? And have you? Man, I'll tell you, I love preaching the trees up there. Amen. You know what? The Bible says that trees at time, if God told them, could clap their hands. And we sit here like we did tonight. Oh, my Lord, friend. We ought to be praising the Lord. When we think about what he's done for you, where would you be tonight if it wasn't for Jesus? How many old ex-drunks have we got here? Raise your hand. Raise your half of your line. Come on, come on. All right. You know what? I had mine up. You didn't raise yours, did you? Helen? No, okay. You know, think about where the Lord had brought us from. Man, he's good to us, amen? Whew. I looked at sister when he came in. Boy, she had a smile on her face. God bless you. She loves the Lord. We got the fellowship in the end talking about Jesus. And I thought both of us were going to get her here and dance in the aisle for one time. Hey, that's where it ought to be. Praise God, we ought to become rejoicing. Don't come dragging in church like you're dead. Man, we ought to be shouting. I'll tell you, I might upset some of you when I'm jumping up and clapping. Listen, you know what? I preach in a lot of churches that people bring the handkerchiefs. You know what? They don't cry about my preaching. That's not it. But they get happy. And how many of y'all ever been to old camp meeting when you saw that just people would just shake a handkerchief and praise God? Am I the only one? I'm going to take y'all to Virginia with me. Y'all have never been to the mountain that I go to. Man, I'll tell you, that's what we ought to be happy and rejoicing and praising God, friend.
If you are saved tonight and on your way to heaven, you don't have to worry about hell tonight.
Right.
You don't have to worry about hell tonight.
Right.
Hey, it's only two places, heaven and hell.
Right.
You know, I told this Sunday, but I'll tell it again. But I was in West Virginia last week. A lady came clean my room. And I asked her, I said, "You going to heaven?" She said, "No." I said, "Why not?" She said, "I'm mad with God. I'm angry. I'm mad with God." I said, "Now, what in the world did God ever do to make you mad?" She said, "He took my seven-month-old baby." I said, "Do you realize where that baby is now? That baby's in heaven now. That baby never, never reached the age of accountability. Just like this precious little baby. I done put one of them sleep up here. But just like that little baby there, little baby's innocent. They never sinned. They don't know anything about sin. They've never reached the age of accountability." And I told that woman that. She said, "Nobody's ever told me that." I said, "I'm going to tell you something else. Saved people go to heaven. Lost people go to hell." I said, "If you don't get saved, you're not going to see your baby again." And you know what she said? "Preacher, is that true?" I said, "Yeah, it's true." I said, "David lost his baby, and David said that the baby can't come to me, but I can go to the baby." And you know what? That's the way it works. Praise God, I'll tell you. Man, all at once, old tears started. I love to see people cry. That's the Holy Spirit working in them. And all at once, tears began to get right there in those old eyes. And I looked. She said, "You know, I want to go to heaven. I want to be saved." I said, "Well, you done come to the right place." She was in room 119. That's where I was. So she prayed and asked the Lord to come into her heart. First time in my life this has ever happened. I've never had anybody hug me with a broom in one hand or a dustpan in the other. And boy, she got happy. Praising the Lord. Let me tell you, when it's down, when Jesus is in your heart and it's real, he's going to fill your bucket up. You're different. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Are you a new creature tonight? Are you a new person tonight? Hey, I'll tell you, you know it if you are. Some of you need to notify your face if you are. Amen. They ought to be happy. Be rejoicing. Amen.
Amen.
Woo. Boy, I don't know if you're enjoying it. I am. I love a word, man. I'll tell you. Look at verse 49. "Then Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort. Rise. He calleth thee." I'm going to stop right just for a moment. If you are here tonight, God has already called you. If you're here tonight, you say, "Well, preacher, I'm saved. Wonderful. But what are you doing?" Come on. What are you doing? He didn't call you just sit in a chair. Man, he called you to be busy. You need to be doing something. Man, be teaching. Be saying. I'll tell you what. It ought to bless your gizzard good tonight when you saw all these young people coming up here. Man, you ought to shout it. They're not going to a bar. They're not going out to get drugs. They're not going out to get booze tonight. They're in the house of God tonight.
Amen.
Give them a hand tonight. Give them a hand tonight. Glory to God.
Amen.
You know, sometimes, church, we forget how God is blessing. Amen? You realize what this church is doing? It's molding champions for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly what it's doing. They're going to get changed. They're hearing the word of God. They're falling in love with Jesus. What is that? Hey, he's real. Amen?
Amen.
I like this couple right back here. I like him for two reasons. He wanted my outline that I preached the other night. So I gave it to him. But no, they wanted me to pray. They want a baby. And I told him, I said, "Okay, we're going to pray about that." Listen, it was a superintendent of a mine in West Virginia, I guess 3 years ago. And they had been trying to have a baby for years. And I never forget, both of them came up and said, "Brother Earl, would you pray for us that we could have a child?" I said, "Well, sure will, sure will." So I prayed, and I said, "Do you believe?" They said, "Yeah." I said, "I do too. So we're going to trust God for that." I went back next year. Either she's pregnant or she done swallowed a watermelon. Now, I don't know which one. No, but they had a baby. You know what? When you pray, believe.
Amen.
Trust God. I don't know of anything I believe it grieves God any more than when we pray and say, Lord, do this, and then we forget about it. We don't believe it. We said, oh, he's not going to do that. Yes, he is.
Yes, he will,
yes, he will do it.
Brother,
and I'll tell you, I got to tell this little story. There's a lady by the name of Ann Ricketts. Remember that name. Ann Ricketts had number 4 cancer, and or stage 4, and it had spread it all over her body. Spread it in the breast, all over. She went to the doctor, and they so helped me. The doctor said, you got 2 months. That's all. That's all you're going to live. 2 months. Go home. Get everything in line. Get your family in line. Get everything in line. 2 months is about the max you're going to have. Ann went home like anybody. She was weeping. Ann called me. She said, preacher, would you pray for with me? I said, yeah. My wife and I went to see her. We laid our hands on her, prayed for her. I said, Ann, do you believe God is able to heal you? He said, I believe God can do anything. Now, Ann had just come back to the Lord. Ann went back to the doctor. Now, listen, true story. She said, Doc, I want you to do another x-ray. He did. He said, I don't understand. I do not understand. He said, there were big tumors. And he said, they are little tumors now. And I just don't understand it. She went back later, and he took x-ray. He said, I just have no answer. I cannot see any tumors at all. She said, you are free. Watch this. Watch this. She said, Doctor, I know one greater than you.
Amen. Amen.
Woo! And I'll tell you one thing. And I was telling the preacher, but they wanted to come up here. But my wife is an organist, and she's tied up at the church, and I didn't think it looked very good bringing another woman up here. So, no. So, anyway, some of y'all look like you would. No. But you know what? She says this. Now, listen to me. Don't miss it. She's told me and testified at other churches, I would be willing to go through all of this again just to get where I am with Jesus Christ. I have never been where I am now. It was worth it all what I go through. Friend, I don't know about you. I've had some battles. I've been in some valleys. I've had some hard times. Y'all don't know anything about Jumbo Restaurant, but it's a restaurant close by to where I live. I was meeting with a preacher there for breakfast, getting ready to start a revival with him. We went out to breakfast and just talked about the revival. We were talking about heaven. Watch this. There's always someone listening when you are talking. And I noticed this man, he was by himself. He was sitting at a table next to us. And I noticed that he just would kind of look around and kind of had his ear listening to everything that we were saying. We were talking about heaven. And all at once, we finished, and I went up to pay the bill. And he came up behind me. He said, sir, I heard you talking about heaven. Is there any way that I could share a story with you? I sure would appreciate some of your time. I said, by all means. I said, let's step right outside. We stepped outside. He was driving a pickup truck. We got in his truck. I said, what's the story? He said, sir, a few months ago, my son and I went fishing in James River. We'd fished that before, but we decided we'd wade out in the river. We were fishing, and my son was right beside me. But he said, for some reason, that seemed to be a whirlpool or something. It said, I looked, and it caught us. And I looked, and my son went down. And preacher, I went down, and I grabbed him, and I had him in my arms. But he just slipped right through. The current was strong. And he said, preacher, I tried my best. I tried my best to be able to find my son and to get him. And tears were coming down his cheek. And he said, preacher, he drowned. But he said, preacher, just before, a week or so before, a church bus picked him up and took him to church. And he gave his heart to Jesus. And he came home and he said, Daddy, I got saved. I got saved. And he said, preacher, is it any way you can tell me how I can go to heaven and how I can see my son again there? And I said, I sure can. I sure can. And we prayed with him. He prayed and asked Jesus to save him. I said, I'm in a revival over here on the hill this week. Would you come? He said, by all means, by all means. Came, walked down the aisle. He said, I want to join this church. I want to be baptized. I want to do exactly what God's called me to do. I'll never forget him. I'll never forget him. And you know what? Last time I saw him, he's there singing in the choir, praising the Lord, filled with joy. You know why? Because he knows that he's got a home in heaven. Glory to God. He knows he's going to see that son again. Man, I'll tell you, you talking about rejoicing and praising God? We ought to stay so filled with Jesus all the time. There should never be a moment in our life that we're not praising God and being thankful. I ask you a question. Watch this. What would it take tonight to get your attention? What really would it take tonight to get your attention? Does it take a son? Take a daughter? Take a wife? Take a husband? What does it take tonight to get us right in the center of the will of God? Serious, isn't it? It's serious. And that's the reason tonight we need to take some inventory tonight. This is the last night of the meeting. Revival will continue. But this is the last night of the meeting. And I'm praying tonight there's going to be some people that's going to get right with God tonight. You know what? I believe tonight that probably everyone in this church could rededicate their life, and it wouldn't hurt them one bit. Amen? Sure would help a lot. Amen? Sure would help a lot of marriages. Amen? A lot of homes. Amen? It'd make a difference. Jesus will make a difference. I know a man that can make a difference in your home, in your marriage, in your life. I know a man that can. I know what he's done in my home. I know what he's done in my marriage. I know what he's done in my children. And you know what? It all happened the day that we gave our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you tonight, what is it that you're holding back on? What is it? Maybe you need just to say, God, I need help here. I've got cancer like Ann, or I got this, or I got that. But tonight, I'm believing you are able to meet whatever need. And I want your will to be done tonight. Let me tell you one thing. Boy, if we would just get serious with God and do that, it's amazing what we would see here. Amen. Let's do that tonight. And if you're here tonight with Jesus, man, tonight is your night. Don't put it off. If you're here tonight and you're saved and you've never been scripturally baptized, why don't you do something like, hey, this is what this is all about right here. Be obedient to him. It won't save you, but if what it is the first thing Christ asks us to do after we are saved, and that is to follow him and believe his baptism. You're identifying yourself with Christ. You're saying, I'm not ashamed. I believe in his death, burial, and resurrection. Why don't we do something about it tonight? Why don't we do something about it? Every head bowed, every eye closed. With every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. How many would say and be honest tonight, preacher, God spoke to my heart tonight. I heard from you. God spoke to me. Lift your hand up. Lift it 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 up. All over the church. Lift it up. Praise God. I'm going to ask you to do something. If God's spoken to your heart, now he should have spoken to everybody in here. I'm going to ask you tonight, right where you are, get up and come. Let's meet around the altar tonight. Come on. Come on. Just get up and come on right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. If God spoke to you, if he didn't speak to you, don't come. Don't come. But if God spoke to you tonight and you see there's a need, I want you to come tonight. I want you to come tonight. And I want you to do business with him tonight. I want you to surrender to him tonight. And maybe you're here tonight and you just said, Preacher, I need a closer walk with Jesus. Just write the preachers right here. Just tell him. Just go to him and say, I need a closer walk. Now, here's the key. Here's the whole key. It's believing God. Did you notice both of those stories that we had in the Bible? It said they believe God. And that's what I'm asking you to do tonight. I'm asking you to believe him. I'm asking you tonight to share what God's put in your heart. Whatever that it is. If it's your marriage, if it's your home, if it's your children, if it's your life, whatever that it is, I'm asking you to share that with Jesus tonight. There is a man that can answer prayer. There is a man that can make happen whatever that need that he has called you to the altar about. So I'm asking you to do that tonight. I want you to share it, and then I'm going to have special prayer tonight. I want you to share that right now. Now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, is there anyone around the altar tonight, and you would say tonight, Preacher, I'd like somebody to come and pray with me. My heart's heavy. Just lift your hand up, and I'll send somebody there. Anybody at all. Don't want to miss you. Don't want to miss you. All right. Have you shared that with Jesus tonight? What he brought you here? How he's put that in your heart? Share it right now. Right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your spirit of the Holy Spirit of the living God, Jehovah God, that's in this building tonight. God, I thank you tonight, dear Lord, for speaking, Lord, to all of us. I thank you tonight, dear Lord, that you are able. But Lord, we know as we have read and preached tonight, it's those that believe, those who ask, and those who believe, and those who trust, and those who love you. And God, I believe tonight, this is a church that loves you. I believe tonight, these are people around this altar that will believe and trust you tonight. So Lord, I'm asking tonight, dear Lord, that those prayers be answered tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Father, we ask it for Jesus' sake, who is able and worthy to hear and to answer prayer. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. To God be glory when you finish praying.